Hello and welcome to Christ, Faith, Truth, Hope, where God will be glorified. I believe and proclaim that the King James Version of the Bible that I will be speaking from is the infallible Word of God. It is the truth of His Word and it is His voice. This is a truth that the enemy will attack daily. Therefore, this is the truth that must be reiterated daily. Also, let it be known that salvation is God's free gift by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do anything for it, therefore, it cannot be lost. All of these things are supported by Scripture, and I'm using the King James Version of the Bible. So if anyone listening doesn't believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the only true Bible and Word of God, then there's no point in listening to this podcast. I just really need to express that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through Mary, the Mother of God, or any of the apostles, or anyone else. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. This is Scripture from the King James Version of the Bible. It is written. So I'll be expressing these things when I open and start my episodes, because these are the very foundations of faith that the enemy attacks on a daily basis. So therefore it bears repeating. Today's topic is going to be how that God's love commands repentance. Now let's start with who God is. God is righteous. God is holy. God is true. God is love. Revelation 4:8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." God is worshiped and adored by all the host of heaven, day and night, and forever will be. Amen. So, God has the holy host of heaven to offer him constant praise. Therefore, he does not need our tainted accolades. If you were thirsty and I offered you a glass of water, with one glass being dirty and one glass being clean, which glass would you drink from? I'm pretty sure you pick the clean glass. So it is the same with God. He does not want, neither does he accept, sin-tainted praise and worship from the unrepentant who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay? You gotta be born again. So, just, you know, with God being who he is and what he's done for us, brings me to how much God must love us to have done what he did. You know? So, you know, how the Lord must love us if he left his throne in heaven, put on flesh, came to earth, and suffered and bled and died and is risen again. Amen. But consider God, the Lord, left a place where he is worshiped and exalted to come to a place where he is hated, despised, loathed, and abhorred. I mean, what kind of love is that? It's the kind of love that says, in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God's love is the kind of love that knows the depravity of the human condition and offers a remedy for it through Jesus Christ. God sees into everyone's heart. God knows the weight of hatred, bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, gossip, poverty, assaults on the heart and assaults on the mind, and lust and the addictions and the idolatry that keep us in bondage to sin and death. The love of God wants to heal us from the misery and despair of growing up in a broken home. The love of God wants to heal us from the emotional and physical abuse we've endured. The love of God wants to heal us of the addictions and idolatry that we're trying to medicate our pain with. And these very vices that are keeping us bound in poverty and homelessness. The love of God wants to enter in and be our comforter, our friend, teacher, our defender and provider. Most importantly, the love of God wants to save us from the threat of hell, where we will spend an eternity in darkness and despair, alone and tormented, not only by the adversities and injustices that we suffered while we were alive, but also by the regret we would feel for having rejected God, separated from the Lord, alone and tormented in an eternal flame. Therefore, we must do as the Lord has commanded and repent. He says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And again, the Lord says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is not hyperbole. It is not a suggestion. These are commandments. Make no mistake. Okay? So, we must repent. We must repent and receive the love of God that will deliver us from the misery of life without him. We must repent of our sin and be willing to turn from them or forever regret not doing so, being separated from the love of God, lonely and afraid, tormented in the eternal flames of hell. Now, I don't know about you, but when I lived a life of sin, I was miserable and I wanted to be free. I can remember doing everything that the world told me that I needed to do to be happy. Go to school, get a job, be popular, drink alcohol, smoke marijuana, do drugs, live in fornication. And it was all a lie, and it didn't help me. It actually brought more harm and corruption and emotional distress, and I didn't have any peace in my spirit doing any of those things that the world had told me to do. Because the Lord has said in Proverbs chapter 8, that he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. So all I did was wrong my own soul, living a life of sin, which was normal to the world. Okay? God says that if you were of the world would love his own. So while I was in the world, doing all those worldly things that the world told me to do, it was okay with the worldly people. But I'm telling you, inside, I just wanted to die. I prayed to die. I often got into situations where I could have been killed trying to die. Like, I was just not happy living a life of sin. And nobody can be happy if they're honest. No one is happy living a life of sin. You know, and I wanted to be free. I did all that stuff that the world told me to do, and all I was left with was spiritual bankruptcy, loneliness, and despair, and depression. And doctors told me that I was bipolar, and take this pill and take that pill, and that stuff does not work. Why do you think you see these, okay, celebrities? They are the perfect example. Why do you think all these celebrities who have all this money end up killing themselves with drugs and alcohol, or they commit suicide some other kind of way? That's because you cannot live without Christ. We cannot live without Christ. We can live without Christ, but we won't have peace. It's because they don't have peace. And they have all that money. They have all those people around them. Rich people have money. They have family. They have job. They have career. They have success. The rich have all these things, but yet they do not have peace. And that's because they do not have Christ. So when a person does not have Christ, they will not, they cannot have peace, because God does not allow them to have peace within their spirit. And so this is why God commands us to repent and come to know Him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, like I said, I did all the things that the world told me to do. The world, you know, I lived a life of sin, and I was miserable, and I was frustrated because I couldn't share my feelings with anyone without being labeled crazy or bipolar or depressed. The world didn't have any answers for me, no matter how much stuff or money I had, or no matter how much alcohol I drank or drug I used. It didn't satisfy my spirit. Popularity and sexual immorality left me feeling empty and defiled, and I firmly believe that God has designed it to be that way. So that it is only through accepting Him that we find acceptance, affirmation, affection, approval, confidence, friendship, love, joy, contentment, security, and peace. So God's love commands that we repent, and there is no excuse for us to try to live without Him, and God forbid that we should die without having received His loving kindness and tender mercy and salvation. So I'm going to close with some scripture supporting everything that I've said, you know, because like I said, this is the truth of the Word of God, you know, and I must share it. You know, living in this world today as a Christian, I am so weary of reprobate, unbelieving evildoers naming the name of Christ and blaspheming the Lord, associating their sinful lifestyle with the Lord having blessed them to prosper in unrighteousness and wickedness, when it is just not true. These things that I'm saying need to be said. They need to be heard. Because God is holy, God is righteous, God is true. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God condemns sexual immorality. God condemns fornication. God condemns drunkenness. God condemns idolatry. The Lord has not blessed anyone to get away with their evil. And having stuff, money, cars, houses, is not even what the word blessed means. You know, people walking around talking about, oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No. The word blessed means to make holy. Okay, so I don't understand how a job makes somebody holy. But anyway, I digress. So let me first go to 1 John and chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 9 through 10. So let me just find it right here. All right. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Because it's a love thing. You know, if you love somebody, you'll make an adjustment for that person. So just listen to this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay. Now, Romans and chapter 5. Let's go over there to Romans and chapter 5 and verse 8 and see what that has to say about the love of God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he must love us if he would die for us. I mean, just look around you. Look at your neighbors. Look at the news. Look at the world. Look at all the hatred and murder and wickedness going on. And God loves those people and gave his life so that if they should trust in him, they can be saved. No one is too bad. The Lord says, whosoever, that means whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, how God must love us. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us consolation, there it is, and good hope through grace. He's the consolation that we need. And finally, we all know this one. For God so loved the world, that means you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. Which is amazing to me, because I am someone who comes from a broken family, dysfunctional home, where I was not loved. I didn't know what love was. I've had my heart broken by those close to me, and no one loved me, and I didn't love myself. So when I heard that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me, I received it. And I was glad about it. Oh, I was so excited. Words cannot express what I felt when I heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he loved me. And, you know, he was the love that I had been looking for between people's legs, at the bottom of a drink, at the end of a joint, in material things. Jesus Christ. Love, God's love, was the love that I had been looking for, and it was the love that satisfied me. God's love is the love that healed me. God's love is the love that changed me. And God loves you too. You know, the way someone once told me, the way that people treat me is not a representation of how God feels about me. God has shown me his love for me and his direction, and his commandment for me to repent of my sinful ways that are destroying me. Why would I want to hold on to something that's killing me and that's going to keep me separated from the only one who's ever loved me enough to lay down his life for me? So, again, I say, just the very act of God loving us and paying the price for our sin and being the mediator for us, and, you know, so that we can have a relationship with him, commands repentance. We have to repent. Once again, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent and turn away from sin. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, and surrender to him and receive him as Lord and Savior. Accept him as your God, and he shall be saved. And with that, I will end. Hello, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. Today's topic is going to be, what is repentance? But before we get into that, it bears repeating that the King James Version of the Bible is the truth of his word. Revelation 22:17-19. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Every other book masquerading as God's word has been changed to suit various demographics who call good evil and call evil good, and is thereby false. God is unchanging. Therefore, his word is unchanging. God's word is his voice. Therefore, adding to or taking from the word of God makes it no longer his word, but man's word. Also, Jesus Christ is God. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The only person who was born, given as a son, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and called the Prince of Peace, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again I say, there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved than that of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is God. I just read it to you from the Bible that pointed out that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is obviously talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. I'm saying these things because they need to be said. On a daily basis, Satan is on the attack, attacking the very foundation of our faith, that the Bible is not the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is not God, and a whole host of other things that I'll eventually get into by hosting this podcast. So, once again, I digress. Listening to me, you will find that I do that often. So, now that I have let it be known that I'm going to be speaking through the King James Version of the Bible and pointed out that Jesus Christ is God, I'll get back to my topic of what is repentance. What is repentance? It's a word that is not often spoken today. No, not even in the church. Repentance is turning away from sin. But before we talk about what repentance is and why God commands it, let's look at what the secular Merriam-Webster dictionary defines sin as. Sin is defined as an offense against religious or moral law, an action that is or is felt to be highly reprehensible, transgression of the law of God. And last but not least, sin is a vitiated or defective state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. Now, I'm laughing at this because the fact that God moved the heart of unbelieving man to acknowledge him in the meaning of the word sin is just amazing to me. But that's a topic for another day. But anyway, sin is an offense against religious or moral law, an action that is or is felt to be reprehensible.
transgression of the law of God, vitiated or defective state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. Note that the last definition of sin is a vitiated or defective state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. So, by nature, just by our very nature, we are defective, we are sinners, we are powerless to change ourselves, and as such, we are estranged from God, in need of being reconciled to Him. So, let's look at what are some things that God says are sin. Well, let's look at the Word of God. In Galatians 5:19 and 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew 15:18-19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Colossians 3:5-6. Mortify, or put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's strong sexual desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And there you have it. The Lord has spoken and named fornication, adultery, sexual immorality, sodomy, homosexuality, covetousness, theft, envy, gossip, hatred, murder, lies, idol worship, drunkenness, drug addiction, and witchcraft as evil. He's named it as sin. Now the world calls it good, but they call what the world calls virginity, abstinence, honesty, sobriety, integrity, equity, meekness, humility, and faith in God weird, crazy, taboo, evil, and they'll tell you that you can't talk about it. Oh, but they could talk about all their fornication and adultery and sexual immorality and so forth and so on, and gossip and murder and hatred. So now that we discuss what sin is, let's find out why we sin. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, and that we were born into sin. Nevertheless, God has given us free will to choose Him. Now, what happens when we reject God? This is connected to why we sin. In Romans 1:18-32, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in him, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I can remember when I was younger, I knew that the Lord existed. I just knew it. I could feel it. I knew it. I knew that there was a God and that there was bad spirits, if you will. I didn't know that they were called devils or whatever. And I just knew it. I also knew how to lie. I knew how to sin. Nobody had to teach me, oh, this is how you lie. If you get caught doing something, nobody had to teach me. And I knew that lies were wrong because the Lord put it in me to know. Now, back to the scripture. So, God has made it known unto him, unto everyone, his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. And because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So because they don't want to hear what thus says the Lord, or to live according to that which he has ordained, he gives them over to a reprobate mind. God allows those who reject him to be consumed by the immorality of their desperately wicked hearts. Let's go back and look at the part where God says that because they rejected him, that here we go right here. In verse Romans in chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, did burn in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now, our government says that it's okay for a man to marry a man and for a woman to marry a woman. But right here, we can read that God clearly has said no. That it is vile affection, that it is against nature, and so is therefore condemned by the Lord God Almighty. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I'm going to obey God rather than man, because there is repercussions and consequence for every decision that I make, and I would rather offend man than offend God. I'm going to fear my Lord God Almighty, who can cast both my body and my soul in hell, versus fearing man, who can only hurt my body but not my spirit. But yeah, right here. So this is an example of, you know, God calling something sin that mankind says is not sin. Homosexuality is sin. We just read it. Okay, I'll read it again. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. So they got what was coming to them. Okay, so where was I? So, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only are they filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, murder, covetousness, hatred, envy, and strife, but they are proud of it. Now, God created us to worship Him. Therefore, we are wired to worship, and we're going to worship something. Even if we reject God, we're still going to end up worshiping something, because that's what we're made for. Now, when the unbelieving reject God, their need to worship drives them to worship money, power, sex, self, drugs, sports, people, work, and the list goes on. They know that what they do is wrong, yet they take pleasure in it, thinking that they're hurting God. And they feel that God has wronged them in some way, because He does not allow them to have peace with casting all of His instruction behind them. And they seek to perfect an ungodly lifestyle as if it were a craft or a trade. And they think the accumulation of money, power, and success are a testament that a person can reject the Lord without any consequences. But Psalm 34, listen to what the Lord says, that the face of the Lord, that means He is in your face, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And again, Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. And again, Psalm 37:38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. And again, Psalm 101. A forward heart, forward meaning disobedient, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. And again, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now that we know what God has established as sin, let's discuss what repentance is. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines repentance as to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. So again, repentance is to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment or alteration or correction of one's life. So we agree that an alteration or correction is a change, that something has been changed. It is not the same anymore. So repentance leads to an alteration or correction of one's life. It is to turn away from sin, not make excuses for it. It is a change of thought towards sin, to acknowledge sin as sin, as being evil, and that God is not pleased with sin. Repentance is to not make any excuses for sin, assuming that God will automatically forgive us because he loves us. God has given us the only way to be forgiven of our sin, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has these things to say about repentance. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, moreover than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. There's that change again. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So some highlights that we just read in the scripture are that if we do not repent, we will perish in hell, that the angels in heaven rejoice when a person repents, that repentance is to be preached, that repentance is needed before a person can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that repentance leads to a conversion of one's heart, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, God causes us to be grieved by our sin, and he gives us a heart to repent and to the acknowledging of his truth, and to the recovering of ourselves out of the snare of the devil. And when we repent, God remembers our sin no longer. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We cannot continue in sin after having repented. Don't be deceived. Ephesians 5:3-9. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were, past tense, for ye were sometimes darkness. Before you repented, you were sometimes darkness. But now that you have repented, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which begins at repentance. The Spirit, capital S, is the Holy Ghost. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Galatians 5:16-25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith,